Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. Yes, you've all noticed. Thank you for noticing. My voice is still a little bit nasal, isn't it? Still kind of got the lingering of the nasty cold I had last week that caused me to end the show early. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. It's like, whoa, I think maybe I should go, do something medical now. Yes. And so, yes. So, I'm a little bit hoarse, a little bit nasal, but I think we can make it this time. At least we're going to try. We're going to give it our best shot. Thank you, but thank you for noticing. Yes, and thank you to everyone who was a well-wisher and sent me a little note and like that. That was very nice of you. It's nice to know that you guys really consider me a part of your lives, and I'm very honored by that. Yes, and yes, and thank you for all the recommended home remedies. I guarantee I tried just about every single one of them. Yeah. And it's getting better. It's, last week I couldn't talk. This week I can kind of talk, but it sounds a little funny. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you all for doing that. Thank you for caring. Thank you for sending me a note. Yes. Pardon me. Yes, we are going to be odd, aren't we? Now, we announced this time we're going to be talking about procrastination, right? And we announced the subject a little in advance so everybody can think about it. And, well, so that, well, I can think about it too. And this time we had some questions about what's the difference between procrastination and a delay, right? A delaying activity. I think, in my opinion, and you guys can have different opinions, of course, but I think procrastination is kind of not doing something that causes a delay. But it's not doing something. It's not finishing something, not going forward, not taking the next step. So it is kind of passive, right? Yeah, procrastination is kind of passive. It's not doing something. It's not acting. A delay is doing something, actively causing the process to halt or be temporarily stopped, right? Yeah, a delay is active. It's something that you actually do to cause things to slow down at least, or to halt, or to get delayed, right? Yeah, and so it's an active act. I think they get basically the same result. The same result is not going forward or slowing down in the speed of going forward, right? Yeah, so that's basically the same result no matter which way you call it. So I'm going to say that I think they're very similar in definition. I think that they're very similar in what it is that they do, right? Yeah. So, yes, I'm going to say that they are very similar in result, in the final outcome of the thing. Yes. So let's talk about this. Let's use procrastination and delay kind of in the same way. Yeah, people are arguing there's kind of finesse, there's kind of fine points to this, but I think that basically that definition will do us in good stead. Both of them cause the process to slow or halt or kind of be delayed. You're not supposed to use the same word in the definition, but it counts. It shows us what we want to know. So Yes, we all know what question I'm going to ask, don't we? Yes, some of you are already answering it. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Yes, the prior shows are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com, not .org. Mm-hmm. So what kind of procrastination or delay do we engage in as leaders? What kind do we do? Kind of, well, maybe regularly, depending on what's needed during the process, right? Because the process is going balls of fire. It's chugging right along. And we decide that we need to have a halt, or we need to slow down. We need to have a moment to do something. So what kind of procrastination / delay do we engage in as leaders? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to call this whole thing cautious progress, because that's really the key to it. We're going too fast, and we're not watching where we're going, in your leadership opinion. Or something happens that causes us to need to slow down and maybe even reassess. Mm-hmm. Oh, took a sip of water. Excuse me. So, why do we need to have a delay? Need to have a little procrastination? Yes, maybe we need, I'm going to call this acquiring facts. We need to look something up. We need the time to acquire some facts. Time to find something out. Time to find out maybe if something is true. That's always good to know, right? Something we're relying on is actually true. Mm-hmm. We might need to acquire expert opinions. That's true also. We might need to ask around. We might need to find out if somebody actually knows the answer to this question that we didn't know that we had, but now we know. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, too. A lot of people are talking about the group dynamic. Yes, you might need to have a procrastination or a delay because your group dynamic is not quite it. Or you want to acquire new participants or different participants. But you can't be going balls of fire with these if you're looking to replace them, right? Looking to change the group dynamic. Looking to change who is participating. Mm-hmm. Ah, the ubiquitous funding. We might need a delay because we need to acquire funding. We need to get more money. Mm-hmm. Media support, we'll go with that. Sometimes we delay because we need to kind of appeal to the media. We might even need an expert. There is such a thing nowadays, depending on the issues and how interested the public is. We might need to hire a media expert to tell us how to work with the media so that we come out well, how to present ourselves. I just had a friend who did that. She wasn't getting a job. She's an artist. But she needed a job in kind of commercial art, right? And she had every place she went, she was more than qualified, but she kept getting rejected. And so I don't know if this is she called in an expert, and sometimes we call in media experts too, to tell her how come it wasn't working and what she was doing wrong. Because she was doing the same thing each time, basically speaking. And it was obviously wrong. She was going to different kinds of people, different kinds of places. And they did it. She did it in front. They did a mock interview. And she did what she's doing and looks like what she looks like and like that. And it was very helpful because the expert actually understood how to approach media like that, approach employers in an appealing way. And that's what you have to do, too. You have to appeal to the media. They have to, well, I suppose nowadays with social media and things, they kind of do have to like you. They have to be on your side. They have to present the facts favorable, in a favorable manner, right? Because the media makes public opinion. Yes, I don't care what anybody says. I don't watch the news. No. The media makes public opinion. What you think, what they tell you to think, and your friends think it, that will influence you to think it, you to hold that as an opinion, right? Yes, very important. Very important for people to understand that the media is really influential. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, yes, so media. Let's have some time to get some employer buy-in, right? The employer has to really back us, right? And let's have set aside some time, maybe have a delay, maybe procrastinate a little bit, and don't go so fast. If we need to get some more empathy. And remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Very important distinction. People think empathy, oh, I agree with you. Maybe. But that's not what empathy is. Empathy is understanding. Mm-hmm. So, let's start. And let's talk about a delay while we acquire the facts. Mm-hmm. This is a very good point Muhammad and others are making, that you need to research all the sides, not just your own. There's a tendency to get the answer we want. And if you muck around on the internet long enough, you can always find the answer you want, right? Something that agrees with your position. But what we want to know is all of the answers, all of the research, all of what's going on. Because we need to really be able to say this is the facts. We've done our research, we've done all sides, yes. Yes, as Muhammad says, not just your own. It's nice to be validated, but we'd like to know what others are doing too. We'd like to know what their arguments in favor of them is, right? Yes. Yes, thank you. Annika says you need to differentiate fact from opinion. You need to differentiate fact from opinion. And sometimes opinions kind of disguise themselves as facts, don't they? Yes, very important point. You need to differentiate facts from opinion. Mm-hmm. Because it's interesting to see people's opinions, but hey, is that a fact? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Yes, quite a few people are talking about role play, R-O-L-E. We do it in workshops, which is probably how you guys have seen me do it. Yeah, excuse me, I'm going to take a sip of water. We do it in workshops mainly to get the idea of consensus building and the idea of arguing aside and the idea of listening as people say what they think but also watch body language and things. So we do it as an exercise for real life. You can role play in real life, too, if you need to, so that you can understand why other people think this opinion is a fact, for example. It is done within your group, not with an opposition group, usually. Well, I mean, everything depends. It depends on your leadership decision. But it is, role-playing is very important, and it is, okay, it's time-consuming. You have to have the right issues for it. But if you can't figure out how come somebody could think that, well, let's argue for them, right? Let's really give it our best shot, and we'll find out, there is somewhat of a point there, somewhat of a truth, right? And we have to deal with that. We have to think about it, right? Let's delay a minute in our process and really think about the other side and not just about us, not just about the people in the room, but really the people that are opposing our opinions, right? Yeah. Yeah, I know it's kind of hard. because people don't like to be told that they're not doing something right or that they're wrong, right? But it's important to know if that's true or if there's a certain amount of truth in it that needs to be taken into consideration. And maybe we can reach across at our opposition and make them opposition no more, right? Yeah, maybe we can compromise. Next one's up is time to acquire expert opinions, right? Yes. Your expert, in my opinion, okay, this is an opinion, but it's true. A recipe for peace now. We do not generally value just education, just being expert book-wise. We like to see some real-world education so that you can tell us how things really work, how things really are impacted by our actions, for example, right? Yeah, because we want to know what to do about it and what we're going to have unintended consequences. And that's where an expert comes in, right? I like experts who have done it. I especially like people who have failed but have retained an interest in seeing the issues resolved and are therefore fabulous experts because they tell us stuff like, how come you didn't make it? How come you failed? Now, that's an interesting thing to know, don't you think? Why is it that your group didn't succeed? Well, let's find that out. Let's find out why that is so we don't make the same mistakes and we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. Right? Yeah. Sometimes you have called an expert because you have two sets of compelling facts. And they're both pretty darn interesting. You've got the ones that favor your side, got the ones that don't favor your side. And they're pretty compelling on both sides. Let's call in an expert to tell us what they think about that. We might have to change sides. That happens sometimes. I personally, oftentimes, call in more than one expert if we can afford it, which we're going to talk about funding. But I'm usually pretty well funded because I do corporate. And we call in more than one expert. We call in different experts at different points in the process because we want to hear about any unintended consequences that we don't intend because we don't know about them. See, the word unintended consequences is kind of a misnomer, right? It means, oh, we thought about everything and that just happened. Sometimes we don't even think about everything because we don't know what to think. That's when we get an expert. Yes, I like experts. When you deal with the media, which we're going to talk about in a little while today, sometimes it is important that the media be given an expert with fancy credentials because they're impressed. And not somebody who I think is possibly more valuable who has failed in the past, right? You see the difference media-wise. They like to latch on to something that seems right. And everybody can accept that lots and lots of education seems right. Yes. Sometimes you call in an expert for an entirely different reason to kind of break a stalemate, to break an impasse. Because we've gotten kind of more than one side and they all think they're right. And they can't all be right because we have to pick, right? And so we're going to... Excuse me, my computer is thinking bad thoughts. It wants to install an update as we speak. I don't think so. Remind me tomorrow. Sorry, I digressed. See, this is a live show. I sneeze, you hear it, I digress, you hear it. Yes. Yes. Sometimes you've got a stalemate going. And you need experts to come in and help you move forward, right? We have too much of a delay. We need to really go forward now, right? Uh-huh. And it's very important to know that. Know when you need to bring in an expert is kind of a skill. It really is. When do I need to bring in an expert, and when are we got enough within our own group? Mm-hmm. Yes, usually experts are paid. People are asking if experts get paid. It depends. It depends on the group. It depends on your issues. It depends on what kind of an expert they are. They might be an expert who already has a job that encompasses this information, and therefore it's kind of part of their job to tell you in that respect. So that might be okay too, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next one. You might need a delay to get some time to change around the participants in the group. Mm-hmm. This is a good question. People are asking who decides that? Who decides who's in the group? I must confess that I deal with a lot of groups where I don't decide. I am given the group, usually in one of two ways. If I have an expertise, and I kind of do, just from doing it a lot, I am brought in sometimes, frequently actually, when groups have already failed. I know we don't like to use the word failure on this show, but they've already failed. Take my word for this. This group needs to go forward. They're handed to me as a whole. Before I take that on, I would like the power to change the members of the group if it is at all possible. Sometimes it is not possible because the participants are all of the same level of employment within the organization. Does that make sense? Yeah. They're all, I don't know, they're all managers. They're all supervisors. They're all marketing people. But their level of employment, their job description, determines that they're going to be in this group. So that makes a difference. The other reason is that, and sometimes, yes, this is true. We're going to be talking about employer buy-in in a minute, but we've gone on to this topic now. And it is important because it has to do with participants. If you've got a group like that, frequently the prior leader, as in the one who failed, is now a participant in the group. This does not make for a happy participant, because they would like to see the group fail again to show that it wasn't their fault, that nobody could have gotten that straightened out, even Sue, right? And so you've got a hostile in the group. I would like to dismiss this person from the group. I'd like to do it nicely. We haven't had a civility rule yet. Maybe he or she can be moved sideways in the organization and no longer have the title that is in this group. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then maybe we can have different kind of group, different rules about who's in the group, right? Because quite frankly, this person is inherently hostile. Mm-hmm. Not good. Yeah. So we try to work around that. But who decides that? On this show, for those who haven't been here, we call everybody who brings us in the employer, right? It does not denote a legal relationship of any sort. We just call them the employer because it's easier. So we're going to call everybody that has the smarts to bring us in, even if it's an organization, even if it's a board, whatever, the employer. In those instances, the employer chooses the group. They choose who's in, right? sometimes the leader chooses the group. Choose with care. You know, people are asking if I always choose, if I'm the chooser, do I choose a small group of like-minded people? Well, it sure makes things easier. We'll give it that. But the question is, how complicated is the issue? And will easier get it done? Because sometimes you need an awful lot of diversity, diverse opinions, diverse needs in the group in order to have it be successful, in order to come out with a working solution, something that can really be used. Because just like on this show, we don't like to just toss theory. I don't like to just talk theory when I'm doing a group either. I don't want a bunch of platitudes. I want to know what it is that we're doing now to alleviate whatever the issue is and have our successful outcome so we can go forward, right? Mm-hmm. So that's who I choose for my group, whoever can make that true, whoever can help us to move forward, whoever brings all of the opinions, each one bringing a different one, to the attention of the participants so we know what's going on, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be easier to pick like-minded small. I can't remember the last time I had that, but I'm certain that I have. And, yeah, it is, it's kind of an issue, right? And so you have to decide whether or not this is what's going to happen, whether or not who's going to choose, right? Sometimes by committee, it's the participants are chosen. That's good and it's bad. It depends if the leader has some input to the committee. It keeps them kind of choosing sensibly. Does that count? Yeah. You need some time to choose your participants. Maybe you've got some volunteers. And you need some time to train them. You need some time to see if they're good. I consider interns volunteers. I know that they get paid in credits. But they're volunteers, right? You need some time, a delay, a moment, a procrastination, to give them the time they need to acclimate so they know what on earth it is that they are doing. Because otherwise, how are they going to know, right? Yeah. Yes, this is true. People are talking about having a lottery to get into a group. We have done those. We have groups and seminars and workshops, Recipe for Peace Now, that are very popular and are limited to a certain amount of people. Because if it's really going to be a workshop, you can't have a zillion people. Pardon me, took some water. Seminar, bigger, but also not unlimited, because I want people to be able to ask questions and have really time for it and not have a lineup with the microphone. You know what I mean? Yeah. So sometimes you have to have a way that's just fair to everyone and just to get in. Sometimes that's a lottery, right? Everybody that wants to be in puts their name in and then 30 people are chosen. It's very fair to do it that way. I think it's good because it also makes diversity and nobody has skewed the group, which is kind of the way real life is. Even if you're in the group of employees that must go, you don't know much about each other probably. So it's all good. So the lottery system. Okay, we do it a little bit differently. We do it first come, first serve. People actually run for the sheets. Because sometimes in a place there's an actual sign-up sheet, as in a thing with pens and paper, so that people can get in on the number of slots that are available. It's gotten sometimes a little messy to do it that way. I like the computer sign-ups because they're easy to keep track of and nobody pushes and shoves, excuse me, or writes illegibly. Yes. You might also need some time, some procrastination, a little bit of delay, going on to the next one because we're going to run out of time, to acquire funding, acquire money. This is kind of a constant, especially in the nonprofit world. Well, yeah, we need to have a delay. We've run out of funds. We kind of bloop through them. Uh-huh. Yes, I think that you should have this delay even when the grant material has been submitted. Yeah. Yeah, Elizabeth's going for, well, if we've submitted the grant material, we can go forward. Unless you're positive for some reason that you're going to get the grant, because you're going to be really disappointed if you have all this prep for money that you don't see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes the funding fails. This is true. You can hold your own fundraiser, right? Nowadays you can hold them online even. It depends how much you're trying to raise. I've seen multi-million dollar ones. They're kind of cool, but complicated, and they need professional putting together because there's a lot at stake. And I've seen the cyber ones where you set a goal and then people donate, like for your birthday or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it depends. But you need to re-raise the money and you need to have your donors softened. They need to have a plea. Mm-hmm. This is true, too. Sometimes people do a private funding decision. Private funding. Especially in the disability area. Mm-hmm. You have to decide the cost, where it is, how you're going to control it, right? If you're going to do private funding and you've been approached by a company that does it, because there's a ton of them out there, be very aware about their fees and about what you're really getting for your money, because quite frankly, most of them, in my personal opinion, this may not be yours, most of them out there do something fairly simple for a lot of money, right? We don't want to waste our funding. Let's go on to the media. We touched on the media just a smidge because the media, remember, is competing with each other, so they have to get it out now. That seems kind of, in the marketplace, but it's true, right? And it's important to know who your friends are in the media and how to reach them, right? Now, we do have a rule. The rule is that nobody blogs or makes any kind of media notation, presentation, talks about us during the process. First of all, the process isn't pretty. Second of all, we haven't finished yet. Third of all, whatever you write down is going to be taken out of context, and all of it's written down, and it's going to be taken out of context. Don't do it. That's just my warning. So no blogging, no Facebooking, et cetera, whatever it is that's done now. No texting in class. The equivalent of sending notes. Because we want to be civil to each other, right? The civility rules are always in place. And the civility rules at their basics say that we will not be rude to one another, right? Right. The texting is the equivalent to sending notes in class. If you text and somebody gets it and then they giggle, right? Because it was funny. I'm going to confiscate your devices. And I do announce that at the beginning. Yeah, because nobody wants their phone taken away. It's your lifeline. I must confess I have one sitting next to me as we speak, right? You all do. Mm-hmm. Let's have, yes, the civility rules pervade everything. And we, as leaders, must be fabulous examples of the civility rules. We, as leaders, must be examples of the civility rules. Right? Yes. You can't ask somebody to do something that you are not doing yourself. So we will not lose our temper, raise our voice, get nasty in any way, sigh, text, any of those things. It would be all bad. We are models of civility and models of enthusiasm. Yes. So, what are we going to do with the media? Yes, thank you. Lots of folks have been listening, Allison and others. We're going to assign a media spokesperson, somebody who speaks for us to the media. Pardon me, my voice is going again, isn't it? How exciting. Somebody who is the face of our group. Somebody who knows what we've decided to put out, what we've decided to say, and is doing it. Should this person be highly credentialed and a professional? Quite frankly, probably. Is it the leader? Not necessarily. But it could be the leader. You're kind of a natural choice as media spokesperson, unless there's somebody better. And usually, if you're kind of a professional at this, you've probably got some credentials, which is also useful in the front of the media. The media likes it easy. They want to be impressed. They want to just parrot something, which leads us to the idea that we should have a media kit that states what we're doing, what we want, and like that. Real easy to follow, easy to apply to whichever situation you're in. Easy to apply if somebody's sitting in the media reading about it, right? Easy to apply if, no matter what. Easy to apply so that the reporter doesn't need to think, right? Media kit's fabulous. They can just copy it and go home. Now, let's think about that for a moment. That's kind of good, right? Don't have to mess with it. Ooh, that seems good. Yeah. The media spokesperson is, well, it's somewhat of a complicated job, but it's necessary. And you need a media spokesperson to answer the opposition. In case we're playing a media game, right? Sometimes that happens. We play a media game. We can't play a game that's like, oh, let's all talk to the media and be all different. No. Let's answer the opposition in the media using our media spokesperson, who never loses his or her temper, and is always civil. The public likes that. We might need a procrastination time to acquire an employer buy-in, right? We just talked about the civility rules. Pardon me. The fact that the civility rules pervade everything and we will not be rude to each other. You can say the civility rules. In fact, you should. At the very beginning, you should announce them. And then you should enforce immediately, consistently, and fairly. But it's sometimes, in order to enforce immediately, consistently, and fairly, you've got someone who's enjoying breaking the civility rules, and they don't want to stop, right? They don't want to stop just because you say it. And they've got several other issues, right? How are we going to make them to toe the mark? We're going to have to sign somebody to them. We're going to have to get the employer to back us, right? The employer needs to give us power to enforce the civility rules. The employer needs to give us power to enforce the civility rules. If things are not going well and we've got a bully, to be able to call someone in, the employer, right? There need to be repercussions that I can threaten. I could threaten their job. That's the ultimate repercussion, right? You're not going to be in this group anymore because you're going to be demoted from the level of employee that's in this group. Well, that's kind of interesting, right? And the employer backs you, comes and backs, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that I actually like this written in the contract. Because sometimes people say, sure, sure, yeah, yeah, I'll back you. But when the time comes, not so much. No, no, no. We want to really have backing. We really want to really have the ability to enforce the civility rules, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. That's an interesting point. Hussein says that sometimes you can use delay and procrastination as a defense mechanism to force enforcement. Right? Yeah. We're going to stop the process. We're going to delay and procrastinate until I get some backing, until I get enforcement of the civility rules, right? What a good idea. Yes, I didn't think about it as doing that, but yes, of course it's a defense mechanism. It's a tool in our toolbox, right? If you don't help me to enforce the civility rules, if I can't fire someone, if I can't demote somebody, right? We've got a delay. We can't go any further until you decide to back me. Huh. Yes. People are calling this a work stoppage. I love it. Yes, it's a work stoppage. We're going to have protesters. Mm-hmm. Our last one is empathy, which we should probably have for our employer too, because empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Understanding, not necessarily agreement. And we might need to take some time to kind of slow down, have a delay, a procrastination, in order to gain some empathy, some understanding of what on earth is happening, right? Sometimes you go in balls of fire, and then you're not going balls of fire. And it's like, what's with this, right? Yeah, what's going on? Well, let's find out. Yes. And so it is, yeah. People are talking about it as being a tool to really go forward and to say, look, we're going to talk about each other. We're going to ask questions. We're going to find stuff out because we're not getting a good group dynamic, right? Now, you don't have to say it in so many words, but you do have to recognize it as leader. And we're going to ask the 5W questions. Yes. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who, what, where, when, and why? And we're going to ask these 5W questions, maybe not in that order. Maybe not all at once. Maybe not in public. You have to make a decision about that. But somewhere along the line, we need the answers. Because whatever's going on, we need to take a step back. Because we don't understand it. And empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement, right? You need empathy for your participants. You need understanding for your employer. And they need to understand you. For example, if you're having what Georgina refers to as a work stoppage, they have to understand that it's serious and that what they need to do to stop you from doing that, right? And you need some empathy for your opposition. You need some understanding. Why do they hold that opinion? Who, what, where, when, and why, right? And you need some empathy, some understanding for the invisible participants too, right? Yes, thank you. Lots of folk are talking about the anonymous participant. Sometimes there are people who you do not realize are in the room. They are, Recipe for Peace now calls them the invisible participants. They are the people who are having an impact on the actual participants. They're being reported to, maybe not actually reported to as in a written report, but they are being asked or being giving their opinion, and they're influencing what's happening. We want to know about these people. We want to invite them into the process. If they can't come into the process, but we would like to hear from them anyway. As experts, right? As people who have a very valid opinion. As people who know unintended consequences that we're about to have, right? Important to know these things. Pardon me, took another sip of water. Goodness, and I thought my voice really was back. I keep having to stop and swallow. Isn't that funny? Or not funny, as the case may be. By next week, my voice should really be back. But these these invisible participants are important. We want to know about them. We want to connect with them. And if they wish to remain anonymous, that would be fabulous. We will keep their identity a secret, for sure. If I tell you you are anonymous, you are anonymous. Your word needs to be good, right? Right. And it is important to get their opinions, to have empathy and understanding with them, right? Yes. So you want to invite them into the process, even if they don't want to be known. People asking how come people would want to be anonymous? The answer is, because they're not sure you're going to make it, for one, and B, they usually hold some sort of a position in the present day that will be impacted adversely if anybody found out that they're holding, that they secretly hold a different position and they're working towards helping it become true, right? It's like being a rebel or something. You don't want to be known by name. This is very important. This is very valid. And you must respect it. Okay. We now have empathy and like that. I have promised to do at least one recipe because we don't always get to them. And last week I had to actually leave because I couldn't get my voice to go any longer. So, in order to have empathy, you need to know each other. Empathy is very important. Let's get together and do something that we are not going to fight about. Let's get together and do something fun, right? Yeah. Let's get together and do something we're going to find out about each other in a more natural manner than like interrogation, right? Yes. Let's have some food. Let's have a potluck. Let's keep everybody in the room during the breaks. Let's have something in the room that in case things start to become uncivil, we can call, as leader, can call a timeout. Let's have a nice snack, a nice drink. Let's have a nice private conversation with the offender. Yeah. And food is a tool for Recipe for Peace now. You might be hungry also. It might be dinner time. But basically speaking, it's a tool to get us to be able to connect with each other better because it will make for a more successful outcome and a more workable resolution. Now, you're going to have food, and you are. You need to take a survey. Find out if anybody has a type of food that they cannot eat, do not eat, have a religious prohibition to. Very important. Pardon me. You're going to disseminate that information. When people bring food, you're going to ask them to make a list, not what it's called, but what is in it, so I can run my eye down the list and find out if I can eat that, whatever that is, right? Right. Also, I think that we should have at least one safe recipe. Everybody can eat it, and everybody is familiar with the ingredients because they're listed. Now, in my neck of the woods, curry would be an adventure recipe. In your area, it might be a safe recipe, something extremely common. So you have to decide that for yourself, which way it goes, which type of recipe it is, which type of food it is. Mm-hmm. So let's do the safe recipe because we've got very few minutes. And it's a baked and breaded Dijon chicken. Oh, so delicious. So popular. Make extra. I always figure whatever the portion is that you think the people are going to eat or something, make double so that you don't run out of food, so that nobody gets ripped off and doesn't have some. And leftovers are good. There's nothing wrong with that. You can make chicken salad tomorrow or chicken casserole or something. So I'm going to make only 24 of them, but that would be enough for like 4 people, right? Because that's only, what, 6 each? Maybe even less than, a very small group. Triple this recipe. This is just a way of looking at it, but you need to make lots because it's very popular. And we're going to have like dipping sauce on the side. I like a flavored mayonnaise as a dipping sauce. I just flavor it with Italian flavoring. Just take regular old mayonnaise and mix in some dried Italian flavoring. So we're going to have 2 cups of fine breadcrumbs. They come like that around here called with the word fine. If yours do not, kind of use a rolling pin and get them fine. 1 cup of grated Romano cheese. A little bit of salt. 3/4 of a cup of olive oil. At least 4 tablespoons of Dijon-style mustard. It's the brown mustard, right? Brownish. Some sort of delicious mustard that you really like and does not actually have mustard seeds because it will get in the way of the coating. A couple of tablespoons of lemon juice. And let's have 24. Around here you can buy drumsticks, the legs. They're already pulled off the chicken. The chicken gets separated, and that you buy them in bags. I'm going to buy a big bag of chicken drumsticks. Most of the time, they still have skin on them. You can buy skinned also, depending where you buy them. And they're frozen. So you're going to need to defrost them anyhow. When you defrost them, pull the skin off because you don't want the skin because you're going to put the breading directly on the drumstick. Let's preheat the oven to 350. Let's line a big baking sheet with some parchment paper because I don't like the mess. We're going to combine in a dish, because we're going to do dip, right? We're going to dip wet, dry. We're going to combine the shallow dish so you can dip into it. We're going to combine the crumbs, the cheese, a little bit of salt, and like that, just the crumbs and the cheese, really. In another bowl, another dish, combine the oil, the mustard, the lemon juice, and a little bit of salt. Take the chicken, roll it in the mustard mixture, the wet mixture. You can brush it if you want to be neater than me. Give it a little shake. Roll it in the crumbs. Stick it on the parchment baking sheet. Or 4 parchment baking sheets. You need lots. I'm telling you this because the drumsticks are not that big and they're just yummy. Mixture to coat, place on the baking sheet. You don't even have to spray this thing with oil. There it is. You throw it in the oven. Takes about 45 minutes, maybe a little bit more. I err on the side of an extra 5 minutes because I don't want the chicken to be pink inside. It's absolutely yummy. The best part is you could also bake it in the room, right? If you've got the facilities, it will smell so fabulous that people will settle just to get the lunch. I mean, really. All right, maybe that's an exaggeration, but it will smell fabulous. My friends, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Yes, my voice did make it, kind of. If you want to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Yes, prior shows are archived on the website. Somebody's sending me a little note. I was like, what does that mean? Prior shows are archived on the website. Yes. Thank you for coming. Thank you for participating. Thank you for listening. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you.